And the series is in other things we tend to ignore. And we've been talking about the things that they're important. But, you know, it's just one of those things that we think to ourselves, you know, I don't have to do that part of my Christian walk. I can get away with not doing that. We talked about that with meditation. We don't need to meditate on the word, do we, really? Yes, you should. You do. It's good for you. I don't need to fast. Fasting is not necessary. Yeah, it's, you know, Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast. I don't need to study the word. I don't need to get to know more. I don't need to dive into it. I've got my basic Bible that I got when I was a child, and I'm good to go from there. I don't need anything else. No, technically, I mean, you're having your Bible is great. How often are you in it and diving into it and learning about it? And when do you learn the history? When do you learn the information? How do you understand Scripture if you don't know what's going on at the time when the Scripture is being written? Well, I'll just go to church. Pastor Scott will tell me. You know, that's fine. Please come to church, but you can get into so much more. You can learn so much more from people that are a lot smarter than me. I'm just a messenger. And today, I'm here to remind you that I am just a messenger. And today is the last Sunday of this series. As I said before, October, we start into Missions Emphasis Month. In November, we're going to be preparing ourselves for the Christmas season. And then during Christmas time, we do an Advent series. You're like, well, that's very liturgical of you. Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, it's one of those things that we started up when we got here. And I really, you know, the candles and everything, getting it's just right. It's part of that distinctiveness. So I want to encourage you, if you've not heard all of the messages in this series, you can go onto the Church Center app and you can find them there and you can listen to them. This message will be on the Church Center app around 2 o'clock today. In case you missed something from what I'm saying today, you can go back and listen to it. I know my wife will listen to it on her way to work tomorrow. This is the last message. And today we're going to talk about simplicity. Simplicity. I like having a theme throughout the church service. So you notice this morning during worship we didn't have like the accompaniment track or anything like that. We're kind of back to like this normal phase that we are always in. You know, we always have announcements at a certain time and do offering a certain way, and so it's very simple. I like keeping things simple. Simple's great because it's not complicated, and complicated is annoying sometimes, isn't it? So let me ask you this question. What does the word simplicity make you think of? And this is not a rhetorical question. I'm actually asking for responses here. What does the word simplicity make you think of? Basic? What? Easier, yeah. What else you guys got? Simplicity. Okay. Not striving for more. Oh, for things that are more elaborate. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? The word simplicity. How many of you guys like? Who in the audience today can define the word simplicity for me? Like a definition. Who's got an app on their phone that can look up the definition of simplicity and be like, I read this on Google? Yeah, come on. Help me out here. Otherwise, I look weird up here. And what do we got? You're like, Pastor Scott, this is not what I expected on a Sunday morning. I know. Trust me, this isn't complicated. The quality of being able to being easy to understand or do. Okay, I like that. So what would that have to do with Christianity? simple. That it's easy to understand. Is it? Yeah, it depends on how much theology you study. Really? All right. That's that awkward stare moment. So our title today is Seek First. Seek First, and I think you guys know what it says on both of those ellipses over there. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34 today. So let's take a look at that. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 34 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Okay. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That sounds interesting. What's that talking about? I paused on you. Sorry. What is this talking about? Right. Right. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, here's the thing, is I can always tell a lot about people based upon their stuff. Have you ever noticed that? Their stuff. Have you ever noticed that about people? You can tell a lot by their stuff. By their clothes or their haircut or their glasses or their shoes or the vehicle that they drive or the house that they live in or what their children look like and act like. You can tell a lot about people that way, can't you? Yes. What was that? Yes, you absolutely can. I mean, look at me. You can tell that I probably eat too much sometimes. Right? You can tell that about me. You're like, I wasn't going to say that. I know you don't want to be offensive, but here's the deal. You can tell. You can tell a lot about people by how they present themselves and how they go about life and the decisions that they make. And here's the thing. It's like, you guys get to see my kids front and center every Sunday. Miss Wanda gets to see a side of my kids that y'all don't even get to see because she's there for practices during the week after they've had school already. Oh, boy. But here's the thing. You get to see how I interact with them. I don't act. We have that side at home, too, right? So here's the wonderful thing. It's like you treat kids differently at home than you do at church, right? No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't, though. You shouldn't, though, right? The words you use at home should, oh, wow, okay. Anyway, let's continue, okay, because this is going to get awkward, and awkward's weird. Okay, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. I love that verse. What is the stuff that you're looking at? What's in front of your eyes? But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. It's also about how we see things, isn't it? If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and... Yes, Jesus talks about money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Well, is it? But we dedicate so much of our time to food and clothing. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Clothing is like how we present ourselves, right? And food is what we eat. So think about how many of y'all have jobs? Like, you work for a living, right? You make money. Why? What? Oh, you're saying survive, but let's be honest. What are you using the money on? bills, food. What bills do you have? You have a house? That's like how you present yourself. That's like your clothing in house form. You got a car payment? You got to get to your job? You got to get to the job so you can make the money so that you can get to the job to make the money. Isn't that about right? Isn't that about, that's about how that works? Is it? Yeah. So here's the thing. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Oh, Jesus, that's easier said than done. Because I've got a lot of things I got to do. Because I've got these things called creditors. And they like getting their money back. Uh-oh. Anyway. Is life not more than food? What we're going to consume. We consume a lot. And we pay to consume a lot, don't we? How many of you all have, like, streaming subscriptions? I consume that. How many of y'all have a cell phone with a data plan? Guess what you're consuming? That's what that word is. The things that you consume and the ways in which you present yourself. I mean, I can have an amazing house, but if I don't have electricity, I gotta have electricity. Otherwise, I mean, it's just not a cool house unless the lights turn on. Right. I gotta pay for that gas or it's gonna be cold this winter in that house. Man. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Huh. How many of y'all have ever worried about, you know, the food and the clothing? I think that's what probably consumes most of our time and worry. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Can you imagine Jesus saying this to you? Because he is. Makes me really want to reflect on what I'm spending my money on. Makes me really want to reflect on what kind of a presentation I'm giving out to everyone. Did you know that on Sunday mornings, like, and this is just my brain, and this is how it operates, is that, like, every other week, every other day of the week, I go into my closet and I just pick out whatever shirt I want. But here's the thing, on Sunday morning, I actually have to think about it. Do you know why? Because if it doesn't have a collar, my wife's going to get mad. Because I have to have a collar on Sunday morning. See, I did it. If it doesn't look nice and has a bunch of stains on it, then I look disheveled. And I'm supposed to look the part as the pastor, right? I mean, I've already gotten away with wearing jeans on Sunday. Does that change who I am? Yeah, it does. Think about it. What if I showed up to church every single Sunday in a suit? What does that do? That communicates to people, right? I would never come up here and be like, you have to dress nice when you come to church. You have to present your best to Jesus. He sees me in my underwear. I I'm pretty sure I should probably address the inside first. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Ooh, pagans. Okay. But seek first the... Oh, there it is. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So are we not supposed to have them? Ah, see, Jesus has been pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding because people are going after these things like the pagans are. The people that don't believe in Jesus or don't believe in the Lord, don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in anything. They go after all this stuff because they want to present themselves in a certain way or they want to consume certain things or whatever it is. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to stand up here and do like the health and wealth gospel. I'm not into that. I don't believe it. Here's what I do believe in. Seek God first, and he'll give you the other things. Question. How many of y'all prayed for your house? How many of y'all prayed for your vehicle? Like, you consulted God before you went and got it. Right? Did God have a say? Is he Lord or not? Right. We do the best that we can based upon our, you know, what we hear from the Holy Spirit, what we hear from the Lord. That's what we have. We have that ability to be able to discern what's going on. I needed another car because I have a teenager that needs to get to Go Caps, and I obviously can't be in two places at the same time. It's physically impossible. I tried it once. It didn't work. I needed another vehicle. And I couldn't afford another vehicle. But God provided me with a vehicle. That's never happened in my life. I sat back and I said, God, I don't know what to do. You're in charge. You're going to provide. And he did. Do you know how much I pay for that vehicle right now? Like, payment-wise? Nothing. It was a gift. And I just have to sit back and go, oh, wonder if I could have done that for Leah's car. you ever have that, like, oh, I should have done it for this? Yeah, that's how God works. You mean I don't have to worry about stuff? No. Try it. It's amazing. Because I'm going to tell you something. In life, there's this wonderful, wonderful thing called simplicity. Where God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Have you ever noticed something that the things of God don't make us stressed? I'm serious. Think about it. Has there ever been anything that God has directed you to do that has brought stress on your life? Like, I'm not talking you stress, like positive stress, like motivating you to do things. I'm talking about like negative stress, like bringing you down. So let's think about this. What makes your life stressful? What is it? What makes your life stressful? What gives you stress in your life? We're all sinners here. It's okay. You can tell us. Finances. Yeah, that's a big one. That's always hard, man. Groceries? Toys at Christmas time? It's coming. Prepare. What was that? Winter is coming. What is it? What stresses you out? Is it your job? Me, you need to focus. I mean, everyone has this moment where they don't like their job. I get that. But here's the thing. Does your job stress motivate you to do your job better? Or is your job stress tearing you down and tearing you apart? That's the difference. Okay? That's the difference. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you are self-employed, it is stressful. But here's the thing. I'm stressed to do things well because I'm self-employed. And if I do it well, then things go well. That's stress. And that's good stress. But man, if I wake up every morning dreading the idea of coming in here and doing what God has called me to do, that's probably not my calling, right? Because here's the thing. When we do the things that God has directed us to do, there's no stress. Why? Let me tell you a little bit about the word that is used here for simplicity. The Old Testament, the word simple is translated as pethi. Everyone say pethi. 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 The root word of that meaning is openness. Openness. Openness of mind is praiseworthy when it complies with and is willing to receive instruction from God, presumably. It becomes blameworthy when it connotes a disposition equally receptive to good and equal. What does that mean? Big words, right? It means if you are open to both good and evil, that's bad. If your openness keeps you from understanding the difference between right and wrong and discerning the difference between right and wrong, it's also bad. See, those are the people that we call simple, which is also a word that we call fool, which is also the word we call stupid. Stupid people don't know the difference between right and wrong. Stupid people do the wrong thing when the right thing's available. I'm going to get more into that in a second. Let me show you something. In Psalm 19:7, it says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple," the open, the people that are open. People that are open to the perfect word of God, to his statutes, it helps them, right? That's what it says. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." It helps people who are open, simple, gives them understanding. Psalm 116:6 says, "The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me." Unwary means not cautious, not aware of possible dangers or problems. So even when the writer of this psalm was not cautious or not aware of possible dangers, and was brought down by those dangers, God still saved him. How many of you guys have been in a situation you have no idea how you got there? And you just know it's bad. You need a savior. But then you find out later, like, oh, well, that's why that happened. Oops, shouldn't have done that one thing. But I didn't know right from wrong back then. See how simple works? Simplicity. Okay, Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" Now, this is an example of people who are not using openness in the right way, right? They are going around loving their openness. I'm so open. I love everything, right, wrong. There's no right or wrong. There's nothing wrong in the world. Everything is right in their own eyes. You just, whatever you want. You ever heard of this stuff before? This is around. So let me translate this for you from the original Hebrew into modern English. Hey, stupid people, how long are you going to continue to love your stupid ways? How long are you going to enjoy showing contempt and mockery for what is right? How long are you stupid people going to hate what is simply and freely given by God? That's my own translation. I honestly don't know why they didn't just say stupid people, because that's really what they're trying to say here. Hey, stupid people! Why are you not doing the simple thing? Why do you got to make it so complicated? Why do you have to be so open that you're going to let bad things in and become a part of who you are? That's just stupid. Right? No, it's stupid. It's not, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Yeah, ignorance is not knowing. Stupid is knowing that it's wrong and still doing it. But it can also mean that you don't know that it's wrong. It could be both. Right? It's stupid. That's my son. It's okay. You don't like that word? I know I don't like that word either. I don't like it when people are stupid. I'm allergic to stupid. I don't like the word because it's derogatory. It's mean. It's a very degrading word. I get that. But that's the word. As I said before, I'm just the messenger. I can't make this stuff up. If you look at the original Hebrew, that's exactly what it says. And I don't understand why the NIV just doesn't translate it that way. I get it. I mean, it's offensive. But, I mean, isn't that making things a little more complicated than they need to be? I'll be honest with you. I'm less worried about people's feelings rather than just getting the point across to people sometimes. Because sometimes you just have to look at people and go, you are being stupid. You just do. Because they are. Spend 5 minutes on YouTube searching up videos of Christians defending their faith, and I promise you will see plenty of examples after over and over and over again of people who deny Christ or his word, and they're being taught the truth and still reject it. For what? Paul puts it this way. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. There, that's the nice way of saying it. Paul is much more articulate than I am. Trust me. God created you. He made you for a unique purpose, but when you stray from that purpose, his perfect and blessed will, we struggle. Things get complicated. Money, for example. We're talking about money. Money was there. Here we go. A tool. Money is a tool. Did you know money is a tool? Money is a tool that is supposed to be used for the glory of God. When complicated comes in, however, it results in debt. What is debt? God does not want us to be in debt to anyone. When we're in debt to another person, a part of ourselves is owned by that other person or that institution. That's slavery. When we go into debt, we're selling ourselves. Think about it. How many of y'all have debt? Here, I got debt. I'll be honest. I have debt. I'm working on it a lot. But think about it. How much of every dollar that you make It's just going to stuff that you've already had or already thrown away. Right? I remember we used to have this credit card back in the day, and we would make minimum payments on it because we were young and stupid. Yes, I said the word, and yes, it is absolutely true. We were dumb. We were stupid. Okay, and I can admit that. It's derogatory, and I mean it. We would make minimum payments on it. Why? Because that's how you build good credit. So in order to get good credit so I can borrow more money, so I can have more debt, so that I can do more things that I want to do that I probably shouldn't be doing in the first place, that causes me to get into more debt that I now have to work more money, more for. So every dollar I'm making now, 60 cents of it is going to another person for something that I've already had or broken. We bought this bookshelf. And my wife, this sticks with my wife in so many ways. We bought this bookshelf after we got married. We needed a bookshelf. We needed a bookshelf for our office in our apartment. We needed the bookshelf. You ever notice the needs when you don't have the cash are not really needs? Yeah. Yeah, you got to really figure out that word need. I think it's overused sometimes. Here's the thing. We need this, right? And so we bought this thing on the credit card, and it took us 4 years to pay off a bookshelf. A $100 bookshelf, after you add interest into it, ended up costing almost $200. Some would call that stupid. If I have a book for sale for $10, but instead of giving it to you for $10, I want you to pay me a dollar for the next 2 years every single month, I've just sold you a $10 book for $24. What doesn't hurt my pocketbook as much if I spend less on it every month? Yes, it does. You just don't feel it right away. See, the thing is that now you are owned by someone else. You owe that person money. How many of y'all have a mortgage? You know, I love it when we fill out forms and it says, you know, what is your resident status? And you circle in there, right in that own circle. I own my house. And I'm like, I don't own my house. I own some of my house because, you know, I've paid down that much on my mortgage, but I don't own it. But God, you know, how am I supposed to live where I need to live if I don't take out a mortgage? Man, we've been messed up to think this way. This is just normal. This is everyday life. This is how things are supposed to be. Really? Who decided that? And I'm sitting up here, and again, like I said, I'm the messenger, and trust me, I'm getting the irony that I'm the one that's saying this, because I have debt. I get it. But God doesn't want us to live like that, and ouch, that one hurts me a lot, because I've got to get that under control, and we are. We're throwing... Right now, I think we're throwing like 20% of our income at debt beyond what the minimum payments are. And that's because if we throw any more at it, we won't be able to eat. One of the people that is an advisor for us, we have a financial advisor who's helping us get out of debt, keeping us accountable and coaching, all that stuff. And yes, we pay for him, but we need that. Sometimes you need someone to coach you along to make sure you do the right thing. It's kind of like spiritual life, too. Sometimes you need someone who knows better than you to help you along in your spiritual life, too. Or how about time? Time is finite. You know what that word means? There's only so much of it. Do you know why? Because you're guaranteed a couple things in life. You will be born. You're going to pay taxes, and you're going to die. It's true. There is a date on a calendar right now. And if you want, you can pull it up on your phone and just keep swiping over and over and over again. Hopefully it's a very long way away because, you know, it'd be great to have you all around for as long as possible. But there is a date on the calendar right now where there will be no more dates for you. You'll be done. That time is supposed to be spent with God, his people, and bringing others into relationship with him. That's what the Bible says. But here's the thing. We make it complicated. We make it complicated. Why? I think some of us are addicted to the drama of life, but why? Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to waste our time, which we only have so much of, on stuff that doesn't matter? One of my kids, like, is so excited about their video game that they've passed these levels on or whatever it is. I said, congratulations, you've just spent several hours of your life completing a task that you're going to delete in 2 years. Do you know why I tell my kids that they don't need Robux? Because probably in 6 months they won't play the game anymore. And they'll have spent money. Real money that you really had to work on. You'll have spent real time of your life, and it doesn't improve you in any way. It doesn't get you closer to God or bring others closer to Jesus. We have a phrase for that. It's called waste of time. Well, I need rest. Yes, you can rest. Go ahead, rest. Rest is good. That's not a waste of time. But sometimes we're not resting, we're just abusing what God has given us. You need rest. You need Sabbath. Take Sabbath. Do rest. But if it goes beyond that, you are now abusing it. So what else can you think of? Let's keep that one, we'll keep that one rhetorical, okay? You can answer that one yourselves, for yourselves. What else could you think of? What are some things in your life that God has made it simple, but you've complicated it? Matthew 6:33-34 says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Today and tomorrow have enough trouble on their own. They don't need you to add to it. They don't. This summer, it was really stupid hot outside. It created a lot of problems. In this building, it created a lot of problems because it was hot in here. And we had to fix the air conditioner. We had to figure out a way to ventilate or whatever we were going to do in order to cool things off in here. That's a problem. And it wasn't complicated. It was just, this is broke, needs to be fixed. Or we just suffer. We had that one Sunday where it was really, really hot in here. I was like, we can go in the bear's den and have church in there if you want to. And everyone's like, no, we want to have it here. I'm like, okay, it's hot. It was a good service, I thought. Turned out well. We all looked like we'd gotten out of a pool afterwards. But how many things in our life did we complicate that just don't need to be complicated? How many things in our lives do we complicate because we want our own way and we don't want to follow God's way? Can I give you a clue? I know you have a mommy and a daddy, and I know that they all have their genes in you, and I have a mom and dad too, and they have their genes in me, and they're a part of who I am. But here's the thing. God created you. He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He's laid out a path for you. And if you follow that path, it's easier to travel along life. But how many of you have ever been hiking and ever walked off the path and just decided to go your own way? That gets real hard, doesn't it? Because then you're fighting branches, you're fighting trees, you're getting poison oak, you're getting poison ivy, you're finding bugs that you didn't ever see before. And you're like, I saw one of those bugs yesterday at the gas station on the gas pump. And I went, what in the world is that thing? I've never seen that before. Yeah, it's just, do you guys get it? You understanding? You understand what I'm pitching here? You catching it? It's really, really easy. Do what God says in his word. It's really simple because it's right there. All you got to do is pick it up and look at it and read it and apply it to your life. Do that. Your life will be easier. It'll be simple. Will it be perfect? No. Remember what the Bible says. Tomorrow has its own troubles. Don't worry about that. Just don't add to them. Some of us are really good at adding to our problems when it's really, really simple. Trust God. God, man, I can't afford a car. I need a car. I don't know what I'm going to do about the car. Here's a car. Oh, okay. God, man, I don't have money for food. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't make a menu. And then you open the cabinet and you're realizing, oh, I do have food. I can make this work. I can make it to the end of the month. I'm not going to like it. But hey, I've got macaroni and cheese. I've got stuff. You know, if you need food, we have this wonderful thing called a free store. At church, you literally grab food off the free store and it costs you nothing. Okay, so the church is helping you with food. I can't tell you how many people I've had in the office and I've helped them with their electric bills. People call me up like, hey, I need gas. Okay, let's get you some gas. By the way, you never give them money. You go and slide your card into the pump and watch them pump it. That's how that works. Okay, you never give people money directly. That's not how that works because inevitably it's going to get used for something you don't want. Our church used to keep in the safe, we used to keep gift certificates for Price Cutter down here that people could go to Price Cutter and buy food. And they couldn't, it was one of those gift certificates where you couldn't buy lottery tickets or alcohol or all this other stuff, right? But you could buy food. Because here's the wonderful thing about, the free store is great. It has awesome stuff in there. But sometimes, I mean, you need milk or you need eggs or you need other things in order to make that thing happen. I've been tearing apart oatmeal like it's crazy. But here's the thing, is that sometimes you need other things. And we used to have those in there. But I realized quickly that that wasn't being used very often, so I don't keep a whole lot of it around anymore. But, you know, people need stuff. We help them. Church, look around. There are people in this room right now where if you've got a problem, they've got a solution. You are not alone. When my wife calls me up and says that she needs to be able to do her work today because she's got a lot of work that she has to get done, and I said, we got this. Because we have a church. We have a family. We have people that know what they're doing. Hi, kiddo. She's back there. We have people that can step up and step in and can do awesome things. We have people, I guarantee you right now, and all of you are sitting there wondering, like, when is he ever going to ask me to do stuff? I get that. But here's the thing. Just tell me. Sometimes I don't think, like, I'm not the smartest all the time. It may shock you. But I know, right? Miss Wanda knows better. But here's the thing. I'm not always the smartest sometimes. Guys, you're not alone. God's got the answer. I'm going to tell you right now, if God doesn't provide within the body of Christ, the body, the people of the church, he'll just provide from heaven. Our God is a God with cattle on a thousand hills. I love that verse. I have no idea what I would do with all the cattle, but he does. Right? I'm going to leave it right there because I think you've gotten the point today. This is not hard, folks. That's one of the wonderful things about the job that I do with coming up with part of the job where I come up here and preach all the time is it's not that hard. You just have to do it. That's the hard part. Because I think some of us like the drama. But how long are we going to be simple, loving the simple ways? How long are we going to make fun of people who got it right? And are we really the kind of people that hate the truth so much that we don't want to do it? I think there are situations in our lives where we are like, no, this is not me at all. But then there's other ones we look at it and we go, yeah, maybe that is me. God wants you to be free. God wants you to be free. He died on the cross so that you could be free, not so you could throw yourself in chains. Let's stand. Lord God, I thank you so much for bringing us together today. I thank you, Lord, that your word, what you ask us to do is just, it's just there. It's simple. God, there are some people in this room, I'm sure, that maybe that road is not as clear to them. Maybe that path is not as clear to them. God, help us to trust that we don't need to see where we're going. We just need to trust you and take that next step. Some of us stop where we are because we don't trust God. We stop where we are because we feel like things are going weird. Or we start going in another way and we decide that we're going to do things our way instead of your way. Lord, forgive me for the moments that I've been stupid, unknowledgeable, an idiot. And yes, those are derogatory words and they're mean, but I've earned it. Forgive me. Bring me back. So that I can follow you, Lord. So that I can trust you. Because when I'm on the path that you have laid out before me, you bring me through, God. You protect me from the enemy. You protect me from the bad things of this world. The things that would tear us down, God. And you love us. Despite the bad decisions that we make, Lord, you're my shepherd. In you I have no other needs. You bring me into rest in places that are beautiful. You lead me beside peaceful ways. You renew my strength as I follow your ways, God. You lead me on that path. I pray, Lord God, that my life would bring honor to your name. And even when I'm walking through difficult times, because difficult times will come, Lord, I'm not going to be afraid because I know that you are with me. You protect me. You guide me. You prod me in the right directions. You protect me and you comfort me. And you bless me, even in front of my enemies. You honor me, God, because you love me. I am overwhelmed by you, Lord. And because of you, goodness, mercy, unfailing love will be after me forever. And Lord, I want to live in your presence, in your house. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in my life and the lives of people around me. And Lord, I pray that I could be a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen, guys. This is going to be the start of a great day. And next week, we're going to be all about missions. We're going to get on mission. How's that sound? So, God bless. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.